You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Mark, I got to start out by asking you, did you hear the story that Tom Patry told about Rick Pearson? Do you remember that?
I did hear that. And I might add one thing to that. He actually was so mad. He back then, of course, we had spikes in our shoes. And he kicked the van, our Gator van that we traveled in. He kicked the door and put a bunch of spike marks in the door. So yeah, we had a pretty volatile team back then. We had a lot of great players, but it was kind of funny.
Mark, I want to start really by going back here. You had an eventful last few months. Let's go back to the Open Championship for you. What was it like getting to go back to St. Andrews, playing one more Open, and having that Open really be not only at St. Andrews, but the 150th anniversary of the tournament?
Right. That was really cool. Unfortunately, my knees are shot. Both of them need replaced. And I was in horrific pain, but I was going to finish that tournament if I had to crawl. But I didn't get my clubs till Wednesday afternoon. So in the four hole, thing on, Monday, I kind of played out of everybody's bag, used Jordan Spieth putter on 18 and, Ian Baker Finch's clubs a couple times. So, but that, you know, it was super cool. And then the past Champions Dinner was just, amazing, as it always is. With all the past champions there, Jack was there, Lee Trevino, Bob Charles, you name it, they were there. And, it was awesome. So, aside from the golf that I played, which wasn't good, it was just, the most memorable week I probably ever had.
And Mark, I got to imagine emotions start to well up on the Friday as you make your way through the back nine and really start to hit you as you're walking off the 18th tee and starting to approach the Swoken Bridge. What was it like knowing you were going to walk over that bridge or step up to that bridge for a last time in an Open and then getting to have that moment where you get to wave goodbye to the fans?
Right. It was just the best. It really was. I actually slipped going up the bridge, with my right foot, cause my knees were killing me, but, got up there, turned around, my kids, Eric, Brittany, and my son-in-law TJ were there taking a bunch of pictures, and we did a bunch of pictures, before the, past Champions Dinner on Tuesday as well. So, yeah, you know, walking up the last hole, it was cool. It was my last hole in a major championship in the Open. It was awesome.
Does it take it to the next level? Because unlike most guys who are there either by themselves or maybe with their playing partners, you got to share that moment with Brenda, who is, oh, by the way, your caddy and on the bag with you. What was it like getting to share that kind of special occasion with her?
Yeah, it was awesome. She loved it as well. She's been with me every step of the way. This was Matt, 21 years ago. So, for her to experience that, she loved it as well. So it was really cool.
And Mark, you've mentioned your knees, and I know it's been a bit of a physical struggle for you over the last year plus. You dealt with COVID, then you had back surgery, and now you're looking at potentially knee replacement surgery. Talk about what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. The last few years have been kind of a disaster. COVID hit me hard. Got past that. Then, actually, January 4th of last year, I had my L4, L5 fused. It took basically a year to get over that. And then this year, basically in March, both my knees started hurting at the same time, and I couldn't figure it out. And each week they keep getting worse and worse and worse. So after MRIs and whatnot, blah, 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 I've got bone on bone on both knees, and looking at knee replacement surgery coming up here next month. So hopefully I'm going to do my right one first, then my left one about 2 months later. And by next June, I should be like the $6 million man. I should be good to go.
To that point, are we going to get to see you late next year back out on the Champions Tour, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not dead yet. Yep. I'm coming back. my back's fantastic now. And, when I get my knees fixed, I'll be ready to go.
Mark, switching gears a little bit, and of course, LIV Golf is dominating the golf news these days. And Greg Norman was a contemporary of yours back in the day, and we know he wanted to start a world tour back in the 90s. What is your thought about what you know about Greg and the world tour that he wanted to do back then versus what he's got started now with LIV?
Right. Yeah, well, actually the World Golf events were actually his idea. And, the PGA Tour didn't have any of that. And then they kind of stole that from him. So, I kind of get where he's coming from. Greg and I have never really been friends, but I've gotten along fine over the years. This LIV thing is, it is what it is. I understand why the guys are going there. It's a lot of money, and it's only about money, really. If they tell you anything otherwise, they're lying. But I can't blame them.
So to that point, Mark, if this all had happened back in the 90s, Greg came to you with a 9 or 10 figure check and said, "Hey, Mark, we got this thing going on. I want to give you this much money to come just to be a part of the tour," and, laid the whole thing out for you. What would you have said back then?
My whole dream was to play the PGA Tour. But I can't say that I wouldn't have, accepted it. I really can't. It's 30 years ago. When I was in my prime in the late 80s, early 90s. If this kind of situation came up again and they said, I'll give you, $10 million. Can't say that I wouldn't have done it. So I really don't know. But like I said, I don't fault the guys for doing it. It's a lot of money, and we're professional golfers. We play for money. And when you get a whole boatload of cash to do that, and go that direction. I don't know what I've done in my prime. I don't know.
So when you look at what LIV's doing, forget about the money, forget about all that sort of stuff. I'm curious to get your thoughts. Are you seeing anything that they're doing from an event perspective, from the guys all getting paid, each week, no cuts, the way they handle the tournament in a shotgun start, any of the things that are happening with it? Do you think that there's anything that Jay Monahan needs to pay attention to? Because when you look at, hey, that thing that they're doing over there is pretty cool.
No, not really. I've watched some of it each week, but weirdly enough, I watched like 15 or 20 minutes of it, and then I can't take it anymore. With all the team signs on the left, okay, over here we're on 13. Now we're on 4. Now we're on 8. It's just confusing to me. I really don't enjoy the format or the TV coverage of it. So, you know, Jay's going to do what he's going to do. He's making, adjustments and, you know, I don't see how this live thing is going to last. I really don't. At some point, where the money's coming from, they're just going to kind of wake up and realize, well, that's dumb. You know, that's a huge waste of money. So, I don't think it's going to last, quite honestly.
Mark, I was talking about this topic with Bob Friend last week and Tom Patry a little bit earlier in the show. I get that the PGA Tour is the ultimate meritocracy. You either make the cut or you don't get paid that week. One thing that I think that LIV is getting right is that everybody in the field does get paid for that week. And I'm not advocating for everyone on the PGA Tour that shows up for a tournament gets $100,000. But I do think everyone should get paid their expense money for that week, because if you're in the field, if Mark Calcavecchia is in the field in a tournament here in Atlanta, I'm coming to watch you. I want to watch Mark Calcavecchia play golf. I would pay whatever the ticket was to come in and see you. Then I'm paying for parking and concessions and all that stuff just because Mark Calcavecchia is in the field. And if you happen to have not such a great couple of days, you get nothing, but the tournament gets my money. Is expense money something the PGA Tour should be looking at, reimbursing the players that come out and play that week?
Yeah, that's a great point. I've got some really good friends on the Korn Ferry Tour. Eric Cole is one of them, and we play a lot of golf together at Quest Country Club, and he finished 39th, so I asked him, you know, what do you got to do to get your card? Well, he's got to finish the top 5 in one of the 3, you know, playoff events. But he's been grinding it out all year. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard. It really is. Harder to get your PGA Tour card today than it's ever been. You know, I was back in the days of the tour school. We had to go through 3 of them and blah, 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 and all that. And I made it, missed it, whatever. But, yeah, it's a grind nowadays.
Mark, I want to go back in your playing career to the 1988 Australian Open at Royal Sydney Golf Club. You win that golf tournament by 6 strokes over Mark McCumber. He had a big lead going into the final round, which sometimes for some players is a bad thing because you start playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And I want to get your mindset that week and your mindset going into the final round. How did you go into that round? Did you go in with a mindset of attack, protect? Talk about playing not to lose.
Right. Great question. I love the golf course, number one. I had a nice lead going into Sunday, and the first hole is a drivable par 4. And sure enough, you know, what am I going to do? I'm just going to whip out a driver and try to put it on the green. So I've always been aggressive, and I think I was playing with Sandy Lyle the last day, and Yolanda, his wife, was so bored, she's reading a book over in the trees because I had about a 7-shot lead. So I said, what are you reading? Well, she's like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what it was, but, yeah, it was pretty funny. I was just on that week, you know, that's right. Kind of when I found my game and when I was really starting to play great in the late 88, I was playing next year, 89, 90. So, that was definitely the prime of my career. But yeah, that was, Earl Sydney was fantastic. And, that's actually one of my favorite wins of my career. Probably that, obviously the British Open, the Canadian Open, and the Australian Open are my 3 favorite wins.
Mark, one more before I let you go. And speaking of liking a golf course, is there a particular course designer that you favor because you enjoyed, you know, his technical aspects, the aesthetics of the golf course, the way he shaped it? Was there a course designer that really fit your eye and you enjoyed playing his courses?
Well, back in the day, I always enjoyed Jack Nicklaus courses because the fairways are pretty wide. Generally the bunkers were, you know, kind of deep. So if you short-sighted yourself or hit it in the bunker or whatever, you're kind of screwed. But, you know, that was the strength of my game back in the day. Nowadays, I'm a big, Ben Crenshaw, Bill Kaur fan. Sand Hills in Nebraska is my favorite course in the world. Been there several times. I absolutely love it. And, pretty much every course they've ever built, I'm a fan of. So, Crenshaw and Kaur are my favorites.
Mark, you're a great follow on social media. Let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, how you're feeling, when we're going to get to see you again and all that sort of stuff when they're out there on Instagram, Twitter, and the other social media sites.
Will do. Well, thanks. I'm at Mark Kalk on Twitter. And, mainly my wife, Brenda Kopp, is the funny one, and she gives me half my material, so, yeah.
That's great. And I'm looking forward to having her on the show in a few weeks to hear all about that great material.
Looking forward to it, too. Yeah. You get a good laugh out of her.
No doubt. Mark, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. I hope we get the opportunity and privilege of catching up with you again soon.
Absolutely, Chris. Anytime.
Take care, Mark. All the best to you and Brenda. We look forward to that catching up soon.
Thanks, bud.
See you, Mark. That is the great Mark Kalkovecchia, at Mark Kalk, and he's so much fun. And his wife, Brenda, the same, Brenda Kalk, they're two great followers on social media and a lot of fun to see the things that they're doing. They post a lot of stuff, not just about the tournaments, but a lot of times, and they travel in an RV and have a couple of wonderful dogs, and you always get some great stuff about them traveling to and from, and then obviously the stuff that happens with Mark during the course of a tournament. But two great individuals, a lot of fun, and looking forward to having Brenda Kalkovecchia as part of the show here in just a few weeks.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.